your Bibles, if you will, to the first epistle of John, chapter number 3. 1 John, chapter 3. All hail the Lamb enthroned on high. His praise shall be our battle cry. He reigns victorious, forever glorious. His name is Jesus, and he is the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. 1 John chapter 3, if you found your place. In verse number 1, it says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." Just a moment of prayer. Father, take my mind and think your thoughts. My lips to speak your word. And give me your compassion to do it with. And we'll praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You can't help but notice as we read these verses that it's about love. What manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. I'm titling this Amazing Love. It's like the song Amazing Grace. Grace is that amazing. This love is amazing. Actually, this word amazing is telling us that it is love that overwhelms with wonder. And he begins with the word behold. You'll notice that, I'm sure you have noticed it, that the word behold means to turn your eyes. He wants us to behold. He's saying, turn your mind. I want your attention. Behold, look at this. In my North Georgia vernacular, I would say it like this. Take a look at this. And the Master is saying to you and me in this word, I want you to take a look at the manner of love that the Father hath bestowed upon us. You see this phrase here, manner of love, is an unusual word. It's a word that is saying, I'm going to cause astonishment and amazement. Actually, the essential meaning of the manner of love is of what country? And he's saying to you and me, this love is from another world. You can't get it here. It comes from another world. What manner of what country is this love that God has bestowed upon us? What manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us? He is telling you and me that his grace is to be communicated to you and me. He's telling you and me that we ought to consider the everlastingness of his grace and love. He is saying to you and me, you ought to say, wow, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Just three things. I'm going to give one little phrase out of the three verses. That's all. And we'll be out of here. Watch it, if you will, in verse number 1 with me. The privilege of the Christian life. What is the privilege of the Christian life? I'm reading the verse. I'll highlight the phrase I want you to see. Behold, What manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. Here it is. That we should be called the sons of God. What a privilege to be able to say, I'm a child of God. I'm a Christian. I've been born into his family. That we should be called the sons of God. You see, chapter 3 is opening up here with an explanation of wonder that you and I could even be called sons of God. Children of Adam. And yet God makes us a part of his family. Who is your father? He's not talking about your earthly father. He's talking about your heavenly father. That's the reason he taught us to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven. Let me start again. Our Father. You see, we're praying as a body of believers. You see, he's my Father. But he said, I want you to pray, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. He's saying, I want you to look with me at the quality, the incredible quality of the love that I have bestowed upon you. This is not ordinary, my friend. This is from another world. It's a divine gift. You see, I love it Christmas time when they give gifts to one another. But you see, when I came to him, he gave me a gift. And it was wrapped in love. And it was a gift to me called grace. For by grace are you saved. That's the only way you can get saved. You see, it is through faith, as I said in Sunday school, you've got to come in through faith to get into this wonderful grace. But it's all the gift of God. Isn't that wonderful? And my privilege is, I get to say I'm a part of the family of God. I belong to him. You see, for me, it wouldn't do nothing for you. But for me, it was an honor to be the son of Floyd and Lois Petty. Oh, yeah, and all of my life, I tried to honor them with my life. Absolutely. As a matter of fact, my precious mother, when I'd start to do something wrong, the Holy Ghost or something would speak to me and say, if you do that, it'll break your mother's heart. And I didn't want to do that. Could I tell you now that I've been saved, the Holy Ghost speaks to me and I know who it is. And he said, if you do that, that'll break my heart. And it's a privilege to be his child. It's an honor to be in the family of Almighty God himself, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Watch this. That, the word that always denotes purpose. And the purpose here, he said that we should be partakers of divine nature. Did you know God lives in me? I don't understand it, but I sure do thank God for it. You see, God the Father is in heaven. God the Son sitting at his right hand. But God the Holy Ghost lives within me. And he's living in me, making real the person of Christ to me. And in doing so, Colossians is true, Christ in you. Oh, absolutely. I am positioned in the Lord Jesus Christ himself. You see, it is by grace that I became a child of God. You see, it was by nature. Are you listening? In nature, he created me. Every one of us are the creation of Almighty God. But listen to me. By grace, I become a child of God. See how it changed? In all words, all of a sudden, I become a part of his family. He created man in the garden, and man sinned and broke the relationship with God. And you and I were born sinners. So we had to be born again. But now that we're born again, we have the privilege, amen, of saying, I'm a child of the King. I belong to the Lord Jesus Christ himself. You see, I didn't deserve it, but the verse here said, he bestowed upon me. You see, that bestowing is not because I deserved it. It's because that he loved me. And when I repented of my sin, the word bestow means he voluntarily did it. Could I tell you it was his initial? He initiated it. I didn't initiate. I didn't go to church to get saved. I went to church to see girls. Amen. You see, I was still in Adam. But you see, God Almighty dispatched the high sheriff of glory and he come and arrested my soul. Yeah, got under Holy Ghost conviction and all I wanted then was Jesus. You say it's hard to get people to Christ. Not if they're under Holy Ghost conviction. If you're under conviction, you'll be running to Christ. Absolutely, you can't live with it. Oh my soul, thank God for Holy Ghost conviction that brought me to the Lord Jesus Christ. And by his wonderful grace, he saved me. His life become mine. It's spiritual life. Could I tell you it's eternal life? What is this eternal life that God has given us? It's not the compounding of years. Eternal life is the life of the eternal God. What he gave me was his life. Absolutely. You see, now I become a partaker of divine nature. He put his nature in me. And it's my privilege to say, I'm a child of God. Let's leave that and go to the second thought. I'm not through with it, but we'll just leave it. Let's come to the second bar and watch this in verse number 2. He said clearly here, not the privilege of being a child of God, but the prospect of the Christian life. What's our prospect? Verse 2 tells us, it said, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, here it is, we shall be like him. Amen. That's my prospect. Down here I study, I pray, I try to live for God. I tell folks about the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's coming a day that I'll be totally like him. Won't be nothing missed. That's my prospect. That's what I'm looking forward to. Thank God for it. He said, we shall be like him. You see any doubt in that phrase? You see any possibility of missing it? No, he said, we shall. That's positive language. We shall be like him. If you're in this auditorium and you know Christ is your personal Savior, there's a coming to the day when every one of us is going to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You see, I don't know, and nobody else knows except God. They may be a rascal in the congregation today, and the Holy Ghost may be dealing with your heart. Listen close to what I'm saying. But every one of us that are saved by the grace of God, our prospect is to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where we're looking forward to. You see, to change my physical makeup, it'll take an act of creation. But to change me spiritually, it takes the atoning work of Calvary. Nothing else will do it, my friend. There's where the sin debt was paid. Notice he said, we shall be like him. I'm asking you in the context, what was he like? If I'm going to be like him, what is it I'm going to be like? Look at your Bible and notice, if you will, in the last verse, in verse number 2, he said, if you know that he is righteous, what is he like? He is righteous. My, what a wonderful verse. Look down in verse 3 of chapter 3. At the last words, the very last words of the verse, he said, he is pure. Now look down, if you will, to verse number 5, the closing phrase. In him is no sin. You see that? That's what he's like. You see, first of all, he is righteous, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. What is the purpose of all this? That we might be made his, like him. The verse of Scripture actually says, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. You see, the book of Romans tells me that I am reckoned righteousness. I'm counted to be righteous. You see, I'm not righteous. I sure would like to be total righteous, and I'm going to be. And right now, I'm reckoned to be, but there's coming a day I'm going to be totally righteous, just like the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, what a prospect we have. Not only that, he said, he is pure. And right at this moment, the Bible said, we are holy and without blame. We're reckoned righteous in God. But there's coming a day, it's going to be totally real for you and me. Then he said, the last one, in him is no sin. You see, he's already told us that we're sinners. But now he's going to tell us, I'm going to make you like me. How's he going to do that? He's going to take the root of sin out of me, Adam, and I'm going to be totally like the Lord Jesus. We'll never sin again. There's a group of religious people that go around saying they're sinless. Could I tell you there's going to come a day that's going to be true? Absolutely. Every one of us will be sinless. You see, it'll come a day when you'll never be able to point your finger at somebody and say, you messed up. There's coming a day when there'll be total righteousness in the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at it in verse number 2, if you will. I want you to know he said two things that are a fact. He said, he shall appear. That's a fact. He's coming back. Look at the second one in the same verse, and we shall be like him. Could I tell you, put all those thoughts in your mind that we're not? Could I tell you, but there's coming today. We got a blessed prospect. Amen. And it's that we're going to come out looking like the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Can you imagine God doing that for us? Can you imagine, if your mind can grasp it, that God is going to make us like Christ? And every moment of heaven, listen to me now, every moment of heaven will be a moment of great expectation as God is revealing more of himself moment by moment for all of eternity. And he'll never get it all told, and we'll never get over the excitement of what he's telling us every moment in heaven. It's going to be an awful, awesome day. Amen. When we get there. Have you ever read the Word of God, and all of a sudden God shows you something, you get so excited, and you just lay your head on your desk and weep and say, you don't even know what to say, you're so excited. Heaven's going to be a constant moment of excitement in the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything that he does will thrill our heart. I better hurry and get the last one in. Not only the privilege of the Christian life, and then the pursuit of the prospect of the Christian life, but the third one is the pursuit of the Christian life. What are we pursuing? Well, look at verse number 3. He said, and every man that has hope in him, what does he do? Here's the phrase, purifieth himself, even as he is pure. I'm saying to you, my dear friend, that's what we pursue when we're in the family of God. You see, every Christian ought to be pursuing, we shall be like him. So right now, we want to purify himself. Oh, yes, I know what you're thinking. But I thought the Lord purified us. He sure does. He that doeth righteous is righteous, the last verse of the second chapter. If you know that he is righteous, you know that he that doeth righteousness is born of God. How can the world tell that we're born of God? Doing righteousness. You see, God always puts his finger right on it in our life because he don't want you to misunderstand what he's saying. He said if you're born of God, you're going to do righteous. Notice that first word. He said, if you know that he is righteous. You know that everyone that does righteousness is born of God. What an awesome truth he's telling you and me. If you're born of God, he said you're conscious of the fact your life is to be like the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Two things, and I'm through with this verse. I want you to notice helpfulness, and I want you to notice holiness. He clearly says in this verse, and every man that hath this, what? Hope in him. Every child of God has a hope. And he said, if you have this hope in him, he said, every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself. You see, it's not, get the play on words, It is not the hope in your heart. It's the hope in him. Amen. I know he's in your heart. Listen closely now. But you see, in our heart, we get to thinking things, and it's not on him. But you see, it's the hope that's on the Lord Jesus Christ himself, because he is our hope. Absolutely. But notice not only hopefulness, notice, if you will, holiness. He said, hath this hope in it. What is it? He purifieth himself. Oh, yeah. If Christ is in him, Christ is going to come out of him. Now, watch this. In the opening verse, there was a responsibility. In this verse, here's a responsibility because of the relationship that we had in verse 1. And the relationship is that we become children of God. And when we become in the family, we become acting like the family. And he said a little later in Peter, he said, he that hath this hope that he's talking about here, he said, then he will be holy because I am holy. Isn't that awesome? He's not talking about a life of stuck-upness and don't do nothing. That's not what he's saying. He's saying holiness, that is likeness to the Lord Jesus Christ. Could I tell you, don't let it mess your mind up. Could I tell you, for 30 years he lived on this earth and hardly nobody knew him? You see, nobody knew Christ until after he was baptized with the Holy Ghost and went into his ministry. You see, there's nothing said about him except one time in those 30 years. He was amazing, people. Could I tell you, when they're going to crucify him, his brothers had never trusted in him? Oh, yeah, there was a difference in him because he was God. But you see, when he started his earthly ministry, he started healing people, he started saving people, he started performing miracles. But he was God all the time. Amen. Amen? So what I'm saying to you is simply this. Live your life without sin. Live your life and enjoy it for Almighty God. But let this world see that Christ lives in you. And if Christ lives in you, you can't hide him. Amen. He'll tell on you. Oh, yeah, sure as there's a God in heaven. I got saved on Monday night in a revival. Mace Jackson was the evangelist. I got up the next morning, went to work. 20 minutes after 6 in the morning, I worked at the post office. 20 minutes after 6 in the morning, one of my buddies said, Petty, what has happened to you? Have you seen the light? I said, that's it, that's it, that's it. He didn't know, but I'd been praying for 20 minutes. God, please tell me what to tell him. I know that you've done something in my life, and I want to tell other people about it. Would you tell me what to say? And when he said, have you seen the light? I remembered that verse that he was the light of the world, and I said, that's it, that's it, that's it. I saw the light. And all of them was backing away from me. Yeah, they thought this man has totally gone crazy. Are you listening? But there had been a change in my life. And it will show, it'll tell on you. You can't get by with that. You see, for 20 minutes I hadn't said a cuss word. For 20 minutes I hadn't said something about what was happening. Because I was in charge of getting the mail out from Georgia to South Carolina, North Carolina, going on up that way. And I had to see that it got on the truck the right way. Please listen to what I'm saying. But they noticed there was a difference in me. Not me. Oh, no, no, no. Please don't think that. I'm not bragging on him. He didn't do nothing. He's a sorry rascal. But the one that God put within me, are you listening, had made a change in me. And here's the good thing. He can make the change in you. And if you're here this morning and you need a change in your life, could I tell you the great change maker is here? Oh, yeah. He's here to do that for you, where you can go out of here living the life of Christ. And could I tell you, there's no joy better than knowing that Christ is my Redeemer and that I can tell others about his wonderful saving grace. That's the reason I call this amazing love. I ain't never seen no love like this. It's out of this world, my friend, and you can have it in this service today. Maybe you're here and you're saved, but your life is not counting for Christ. Can I tell you, he can straighten that out for you? Oh, absolutely. He can send you out of here not only straightened out, but he can send you out of here bubbling with the joy of God in your heart for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank God for this wonderful hope, but thank God for this holiness that he can put within us and make us like his own self. Every head bowed, every eye closed, the musicians are coming to the instruments. And whatever you do, we'll just fall in line with you. If you sing okay, if you just play, that'll be okay. Whatever you do, we'll be in there with you. So I trust that you will do what God wants you to do. You see, this moment is for you. And that's what God designed it for. So I trust that you'll come and do business with God. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray that right now, as the Holy Spirit fingers around the heart of those that are in the congregation today, I pray that we'll be obedient to you, that we'll say yes to Jesus, and your will be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.